We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Cage My IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me, as always, is my co-host, Jim DeLulo. How's it going today, Jim?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm hyped up for this big card coming up of UFC this Saturday night. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, this is another week, another great card, right? Two rematches, two titles, who goes home with the gold, right?
Exactly. Before we get started with our preview of the card, once again, as you know, we are Cage My IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at the handles to the left. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We post all of our content there, from the preview and recap videos to the interviews that we have. We're over at 110 subscribers right now, shooting for 200 now. So don't hesitate to subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you think and comment on our videos and let us know what you like. And before we get started, we have three sponsors to let you guys know about that we're hooked up with now. The first one is 99 Jersey. 99 Jersey is the number one shop of boutique sportswear in the U.S. Whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, 99 Jersey has you covered. Use promo code SPORTSBOXSHOW20 at checkout to get 20% off your next purchase. And don't forget to let them know that Cage My IQ sent you. Once again, go to www.99jersey.com and use promo code SPORTSBOXSHOW at checkout to receive 20% off your next purchase. The next sponsor that we have to tell you about is Odds Jam. Odds Jam is the best place to learn how to make risk-free bets on sports. They have the arbitrator, calculator, and you can find the best line to choose from to make the smartest bet around. Go to the link in the bio to get signed up to Odds Jam so you never lose a bet again. And our last sponsor that we have is High Tide Herbal. The owners are coaches and athletes who started this company to help athletes with wellness and recovery. All their products have CBD in them, and the goal with High Tide is to create an environment with conscious products that generate results. Go to www.hightideherbal.com and use promo code CAGEMYIQ10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase. They're an upcoming company that is looking to make results. So hop on the train now before they get too big.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about jerseys for a second.
Yes.
Obviously, we're sponsored by 99 Jerseys, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. How much merit do you put in a UFC walkout jersey? Like, where do you rank that as far as like sports jerseys? Is that essentially like the bottom of the barrel in terms of jerseys?
And I don't think so. I think it's on the rise up.
Yeah.
Because you want to get it now before they get too big for their bridges. Just like with that, all the jerseys at 99 Jersey, like football, basketball, baseball, you want to hop on the train now.
Yeah, you want that OG Conor McGregor walkout jersey where it's just in green.
Yeah.
And then you get the notorious where it's gold, like when he becomes, you know, champ. 99 Jersey, man, it's kind of like getting that Kobe Lower Merion jersey, mm-hmm. and having a, you know, a place, and you can hang it up and, you know, showcase your love of jerseys. But when you were doing that read, I was like, I want to know where you put your stock in MMA jerseys. I think they could do better with the design. I think they could.
I think they could too. But before right now, we're going to get started with the preview. We do have a reviewer at the end, a nice little partnership to announce at the end. I know you mentioned it on your podcast already, and I'm going to mention it at the end. So
yeah,
definitely stay tuned for the whole thing so you can hear about the partnership at the end. But let's get started with the first fight on the card here. Is we have a light heavyweight matchup between Parr Craig, who is 14-4-1 and is the +260 underdog, going up against Jamahal Hill, who is 8-0 and is the -320 favorite. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, with this fight, you have a grappler in Parr Craig versus the knockout artist in Jamahal Hill. This fight depends on two things, in my opinion. Craig's striking, which has been improving over time, but isn't the best, and Hill's takedown defense. I expect Hill, who is undefeated, I think he's won, obviously, eight of his last fights, but I expect Hill to push the pace and keep the fight standing. He's undefeated with 4 wins by knockout and 4 by decisions. I don't expect him to shoot for takedowns and submissions. I expect him to hunt for the KO, since, honestly, these two haven't got along. If you follow either one of them on Twitter, they are back and forth with each other. It's the Bloods and the Crips between these two. Mm-hmm. None of Craig's, Craig, on the other hand, I expect him to try and stand with Hill like he has in the past, but I don't think he should. His striking is improving, but he's going up against a knockout artist. None of Craig's fights have gone to the judges, which is amazing. He's never been, whether it's win, lose, or draw, or what, win or lose, I think he has a draw in there. So maybe one has gone to one, no contest. So they don't go to the judges often. So I think he's going to try and avoid that this fight too, try to get out early so he can climb the ranks. Craig is a great off his back. We're going to talk about that. And I expect him to shoot for takedowns early and often to test Hill's takedown defense, because you really don't see Jamahal Hill getting taken down in a lot of his fights. If Craig gets the takedowns, I think he wins easily by submission. But if he tries to stand and bang with Hill, he's going to get knocked out quickly. Mm-hmm. So with this fight, I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with my bearded brethren, Parr Craig, by second round submission.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a triangle.
Yeah, first we got a Parr Craig, who's fighting out of Coatbridge, Scotland. He's 33 years old, 205 pounds. He's 6'3", with a 76 reach. And then he fights out of Scottish Hill squad. And then you got Jamahal Hill, who is fighting out of Michigan, United States. He's 30 years old, 205 pounds. He's 6'4", with a 79 reach. And then he has no affiliate whatsoever with this matchup.
So was he training on YouTube?
He must be trained like YouTube, like Aaron Phelps from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, and Max Holloway. That's how he learned how to strike.
Exactly. But first we got Parr Craig, who fights right-handed. He is really good in the clinch. Rather than moving out and striking, that's what he does. He likes to fight in the clinch. He is relentless with his takedowns. He tries to pull guard. If he doesn't get the takedown, he's okay with doing guard. He has a good submission defense, and he is great on his back. The one knock on him is his chin. Is he tends to get knocked out, and he has suspect cardio and striking defense. On the other side, you've got Jamahal Hill. He's a southpaw fighter who is good using his length and speed. He's very aggressive. He likes to get his opponents outside to his opponent's outside foot so he can get his combinations going. His takedown defense needs work, which is where Parr Craig comes in. Mm-hmm. And he tends to overstrike and leave himself open in fights, but that shouldn't be a problem here. This is very tough for me to decide in this matchup, because they both have these weaknesses that allow the other fighter to get the upper hand.
They complement each other.
Exactly. I just think in this one, with Jamahal Hill, it's going to be kind of hard to go against him, because Parr Craig has had issues in the past, and he has to get the takedown to win this. He's been a sneaky guy, like where he's had a bunch of early finishes, but they've been weird where he's taking damage. It doesn't look great doing it, but somehow he pulls the victory out.
Yeah. He's a come from behind winner.
Yeah. Yeah. And this matchup, I think it's going to be hard for him to get that submission that you think he's going to get. So I'm going to have to side with Jamahal Hill. And I think I'm going to take him with a second round knockout. I think he's going to be able to get Hill. His chin is going to be suspect. And Jamahal Hill is one of those prospects. I think he's a better version of Kevin Holland.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he works on his ground game if you're going to compare him to Kevin Holland. I think obviously Kevin Holland's going to come up a couple times in this fight discussion, but that takedown defense is pretty glaring. He went up there and he's like you said, a prospect, so everything's kind of rising with as far as opponent's level, the abilities. He knocked out OSP, which is no slouch, and OSP, you know, for what it's worth, he's put on some great fights. He's on a downward slide right now, but he went out there and knocked out OSP. And obviously, based on that little graphic you brought up, one fight for Paul Craig went to the judges. So I was mistaken. It was the one in the last five. I believe it was a draw. So yeah, you know, I'm still going to ride high with Paul Craig. I like his beard.
Yeah, and he has good odds in it. So it's not like it's a big landslide where you're like, oh, we got Jamal Hill all day. Yeah. There's good odds where you can take a risk on Paul Craig, and then he could get the takedown and get a submission, and then you can make some good money off of it. Yeah. And if you don't know the odds, just go to Odds Jam and check out the odds on there. They got all the different odds on all the sites. So pick the one that you want and then go with it.
Nice.
Yep. But let's move on to the second fight on the card, which is one of my favorite ones that I'm looking forward to. It is a matchup, a welterweight matchup between Damian Maia against Belal Muhammad. First, you got Damian Maia, who is 28-10, is the +200 underdog. And then you got Belal Muhammad, who is 18-3 and is the -240 favorite. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, this fight is what everyone going into is going to expect when you see Damian Maia's name on it. Damian's going to try and get the takedown or get the back to lock in a submission. Belal is going to push the pace and use his stand-up to keep Maia from shooting. This fight is very similar to Craig and Hill, where you have a striker, you have a submission artist, but it's going to be decided by takedowns, in my opinion. Belal's takedown defense and ground game is very good, and it's going to be tested in this fight. Damian Maia is not going to stand there and bang with him, despite, which blew me away, Damian Maia has knocked out two people. I can't believe it, but it's happened. I see Belal moving forward to exploit Maya's stand-up, and I see Maia hunting for a takedown. This might be a hot take, but I think the level of competition and the division that, you know, the welterweight division is too fast and too strong for Damian Maia. I don't ever see him competing for a title again. Not in this division. He went up against Usman a while ago, went to a decision, but Usman's a different animal than when he fought Damian Maia. Gilbert Burns handled him his last fight. He got that win over Ben Askren, but, you know, Ben Askren, again, not going to strike with him. And when you have a great BJJ practitioner, you know, you can just stuff those wrestling takedowns. So with that being said, I'm going by with Muhammad. I'm sticking with a decision. I think he's going to ride this one out, but I would not be surprised if he knocked out Maia in the second round.
If no one knows who Damian Maia is, he's probably one of the most world-class jiu-jitsu artists in the world. Yeah. He travels around. He's the guy that you go to if you want to train jiu-jitsu or if you want to work, prepare for a guy that has high-level jiu-jitsu. It travels around. He's that guy. He did it before he went to MMA. He transitioned nicely into MMA, and that's what he's known for. As you see to the left, you got Damian Maia, who fights out Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's 43 years old, 170 pounds. He is 6'1", and he has a 72 reach, and he fights out Vila de Luta Gym. And then you got Belal Muhammad, who fights out Chicago, Illinois. He's 32 years old, 170 pounds, 5'11", with a 71 reach, and he fights out Rufus Sport MMA Academy. In this matchup, it's going to be jiu-jitsu against a striker for the most part. First, you got Damian Maia, who, of course, just like I said before, the world-class jiu-jitsu artist. He's going to look to get you into the clinch or get you down on the ground, however he can. And he's going to work in the guard. He's not that great on top guard. is more so going to try and get the side guard and get on your back and try and act like a backpack.
Yep.
And he's going to try and apply one of those many submissions that he can. He's only had two knockouts, like you said, and a lot of his fights either end by submission or by decision.
Yeah, he's got 14 submission wins and 11 decision wins.
Whereas you got a guy like Bilal Muhammad, he has a wrestling background, but I don't think he's going to use it in this fight. He's going to push the pace. He has awesome cardio, one of the best cardios in the division. He has great combinations. He keeps the fight pushing forward. He's relentless with his attack. He has great combinations, and he puts out a lot of volume. He's known for that, and he's tough. And then one of the things that will be key in this is he likes to switch stances. So he's going to switch stances to get different looks to keep Damian Maia from getting too comfortable trying to get him down for into the clinch or against the cage. I feel like the way that this is going to go is Bilal Muhammad is going to knock out Damian Maia in the second round and pick up the victory. He's going to overwhelm Maia early with the volume that he's going to put on him. And I think he's going to hit him once in the first round. It's going to stun Maia. It's going to get him off his game plan. Even guys like Maia can get flustered in fights. Yeah. Just look at the Gilbert Burns fight. That's what happened with them. And it's going to happen again with a rising star like Bilal Muhammad, who is going to look to jump into the top 10 right now. I believe he's 12 right now. Maia's 9. And he's going to want to look to make that a switch. Muhammad wants to jump into that top 10. He had a small sample against Edwards before the eye poke.
Tiny sample.
Yeah, and he wants to redeem himself from that. So I think he's going to pick the victory, move to number 9 in the rankings, and then put him in a place to get in a top 5 matchup in the future.
Yeah, I mean, to your point about him being overwhelmed, like, I'd be overwhelmed too. When he entered the UFC, you know, he was able to exploit people's BJJ, and their takedown defense. He was able to, like you said, get on the back and ride you like a backpack. But now you got these wrestlers that have hands. You got you had Tyron Woodley. You had Darren Till for a little bit. Bilal Muhammad. You have Kamaru Usman. You have Wonder Boy, the karate master. You have faster, tougher, more versatile opponents. So, yeah, I would get flustered too when you have someone like Gilbert Burns or Colby Covington coming at you and they can throw hands. Do you think that this, obviously we both thought that Maya's going to lose this. Do you think that this should be it? He's 43. It's kind of long in the tooth. If he gets knocked out by Bilal, that's 2 knockouts in a row because Burns knocked him out. Do you think that he should kind of hang it up?
He says he's not done yet. He said he has at least 2 or 3 fights left in him. He just want to do just one more. I think it depends on how this one goes. If it ends badly for him, maybe he does one more to try and leave on a win. Or if he does well here, he might do 2 more.
Yeah, but
it all depends.
That bottom half of the 15 are young killers coming up. It's not going to get easier from here. They're not going to give him a layup.
No.
They're not going to throw CM Punk into the octagon and say, all right, here's your victory. Like, it's going to get tougher, and that division is stacked. I don't see him winning anything unless Ben Askren comes back.
I agree with that, but you never know. It depends on the matchup that he has. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. He's a world-class martial artist. Mm-hmm. He could kick my ass 10 times over. 10 out of 10 fights, he'd beat me up. But I'm standing by what I say about the division. I think it's just a little bit past them.
Yep. But speaking of experience, let's move on to the next matchup on the card, which is a 5-round matchup with no title involved. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
It's a welterweight matchup between Leon Edwards going up against Nate Diaz. First, you got Leon Edwards, who is 18-3 and is minus 575 favorite. And then you got Nate Diaz, who is 21-12 and is the plus 425 underdog. What do you think of this matchup?
I think a lot about this matchup, honestly. When this fight was announced, I was very excited about the possibilities, and I still am. but I've had some time to kind of sit down and wrap my head around this matchup. And there's a lot of, you know, questions, you know, how much training has Nate Diaz been doing in his downtime? Is Leon going to be taking this challenge serious given the odds? And does the winner get Usman or Colby after this? You know, what's at stake for these two guys? You know, if Leon wins, is he skyrocketed into number one contendership? Probably not, because Diaz is ranked lower than him. He's a once a every other year fighter. So is this a big PR win for Leon Edwards' brand in terms of ranking? I don't think that this would be a big win. The way I see this fight going is that Leon is going to come out aggressive and try to get Nate on the back of the cage so he can get the stoppage. Hopefully not a doctor stoppage or, you know, an eye poke like he did with Bilal. If I were Nate, I would try to get this fight on the floor. To be honest with you, we haven't seen BJJ Nate since Conor, you know, since that fight with Conor McGregor. He sits there and he tries to trade and bang with these people like Masvidal, McGregor too. And now he's going to try. I feel like he's going to try and bang with Leon Edwards. Nate has 15 submissions, submission wins, and has very impressive jiu-jitsu. He's born and bred into it. So if it turns into a stand and trade fight, I'm going with Edwards. But if Diaz shoots for the takedowns and replicates his game plan against the first Conor McGregor fight, I think he actually gets the win. But I don't think he's going to do it. I think Nate Diaz is going to stand there. He's going to try and stalk and slap him 9 or 10 times. And, you know, he's gonna do what Nate Diaz does. And I think that's going to go wrong in the wrong direction for him. So I'm going to go with Edwards by decision. I do think this goes 5 rounds.
And then don't forget that Leon Edwards has a wrestling background that he likes to use time to time. So it might not be a good idea to try and take it to the ground and do what we think he should do.
But to your point, and I did take that into consideration. Nate Diaz's jiu-jitsu is very good.
Oh yeah.
And Leon Edwards, you know, how much training has he done overseas because it's been shut down for so long? Gyms have been closed for so long. How much rolling has he done? Like, is he doing gi rolling? Is he doing no gi rolling? Is he just practicing? Like, is he getting these world-class BJJ practitioners flown in? Like, there's a lot of questions there. They both haven't fought in like, what, 2 years? I discount that 15-second eye poke with or 5 minutes against Bilal. So there, you know, these guys are both coming in super fresh. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going with I'm actually going to go with Edwards 5 rounds.
Yeah, first we got Leon Edwards, who's fighting at Birmingham, England. He's 29 years old. He weighs 170 pounds. He's 6'2" with a 74-inch reach, and he fights out of Ultimate Training Center. Then you got Nate Diaz, who fights out of Stockton, California. He's 36 years old, 170 pounds, 6 foot, 76-inch reach, and he fights out of Cesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Gym. Within this matchup, yeah, Leon, he is on an 8-fight win streak. He is a southpaw as well and will throw leg kicks as well as jabs and combinations. One of his pluses is his speed, and he likes to use a wrestling at times. He probably won't use it too much in his matchup, though. Edwards' elbows are really effective. They damage his opponents a lot in the clinch. He's great at defending the takedown, and he has pretty good cardio. He's very smart and doesn't take too many risks. He can be beaten when he backs up to avoid pressure fighters, which would be good for Nate Diaz if he could get him to back up. And he hasn't fought much in the past 2 years, whereas you got Nate Diaz, who's a boxer and a grappler who fights as a southpaw. He is constantly pressuring his opponent and tries to get in their head by talking shit to them. He tries to use the psychology game to get to them. He is weak defending the leg kicks. He never checks kicks and never does anything. It just takes damage to him and allows it. And he tends to take too much damage in fights. Just look at his head. He has a lot of scar tissue up there, which with those elbows that Leon Edwards throws, he could get a cut really easily and get like cut open.
Stopped his last fight.
Yeah, that's what. So that, to me, that most likely will happen. He likes to throw a jab and is good on the ground. Of course, he has a great chin and he's tough as nails. I think in this matchup, I feel like he's going to want to get it to the ground, but it's not going to happen. I feel like the speed of Edwards, he's going to move around as he should, like a boxer, go in, go out, hit those jabs. He's going to just ignore what Nate Diaz has to say. It'll kind of be like what happened with when Nick, his brother Nick Diaz, fought Carlos Condit, where he was just moving around, in and out, hitting those shots, getting the volume up, and then just getting him mad. But he's also has that those power shots where he can hit him. I think he's going to rush in, get into the clinch, and then use those elbows there to try and bust him open. I don't think that it's going to be a finish. Like, and I was thinking earlier, maybe it could have been like a third or fourth round stoppage because of those scar tissue and how it's going to get busted open. But without Nate Diaz is really like just – he's like a warrior in the octagon where he doesn't give up. I feel like it's going to be an easy unanimous decision victory by Leon Edwards.
Yeah, this was honestly the easiest fight for me to pick, and that's no disrespect to Nate Diaz. I just base my opinions on inactivity. Yeah. He hasn't fought since the BMF title, which was, what, 2 years ago, against Jorge Masvidal. I know in my heart of hearts, I think UFC wants Nate Diaz to win because you have the Conor trilogy, you have the BMF rematch. There are so many more possibilities you can have with Nate Diaz. We're both going with Leon, right? So
yeah,
what happens with Leon if he wins this fight? Does he just stay idle? Do they feed him the Colby? Like, what happens?
I could see him getting a title shot if they wind up doing something with Colby. But if they don't, it would be nice to see Colby against Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
Because Colby's at the one spot, and then Edwards is at the, I think, the three spot now. So you're going to have to do something eventually where you have Edwards get a fight above him. And there's only three guys above him. So
it's obviously Usman, Colby, and Gilbert, right? Gilbert's two?
Yes.
He's fighting Wonderboy.
He's fighting Wonderboy, who is four.
Yeah. I don't even think he gets a title shot if he wins this or the number one contendership. I think he gets Masvidal. I think that's the fight that Dana White's going to make because of that three piece and a chicken or in a soda that happened overseas when when Masvidal beat Till.
The only problem with that is Masvidal is down number 7 or 8 now, so he's back there.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before. Dana White doesn't care about the rankings.
He does care about it to a point. Like if you're in the top five, he might have like a little bit of leeway if there's guys that aren't working, but Masvidal has already had two chances at the title, and he's lost both of them.
Yeah.
And now he's back to 7, and he's lost several amount of fights. I just don't see it happening. I think Masvidal will have to work his way back, and then I think it's going to take him time.
There's so much bad blood between these two guys. Imagine that presser, right, or the lead into it, right, the unvetted episode. How many times do you think we're going to see Masvidal walk off camera with his arms behind his back and then light up Edwards? You know, that's the fight to make, honestly. Rankings aside, I think Dana should, if I were Dana White, it's obviously Usman. No idea what happened. But the fight is obviously Usman and Colby, right?
Yeah.
So this leaves him in no man's land. Does he wait for Wonderboy and Gilbert Burns? And maybe, you know, they'll be done around the same time. And that's the fight to make? I don't know. It depends on, you know, Leon hasn't been active for so long. Does he just want to take another leg off and wait for the title to be defended, the champ to recover, and then get another fight? I think he needs one more fight until he gets that title defense. But I know we have other fights to talk about, and we could play the what if game forever.
Yeah.
And we'll probably text about it after this fight, but go ahead. Sorry.
No. Right before we move to the next fight, I do think that the fight to make would be Edwards versus Covington. And then on the flip side, you're going to have to make Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal too.
Yeah, you need to put that fictional belt out there.
And this is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah. And then I still don't even think that's going to happen. If Conor loses to Dustin, it's going to be Nate versus Conor 3. That's what they're looking for. I don't know. I want that BMF title defended. Yeah.
Exactly. But let's move on to the co-main event of the evening, which is the first title fight that we have on here. It is the matchup between Deiveson Figueiredo going up against Brandon Moreno for the flyweight championship. First, you got Figueiredo, who is 21-1 and is the -230 favorite. Then you got Brandon Moreno, who is 18-5-2 and is the +190 underdog. What do you think of this matchup?
Before we get to that, I want to go to Odds Jam for a second and hypothetical odds here. How many times does the referee talk to Figueiredo about his hands in the cage, his fingers out, eye pokes, and groin strikes? Over, under 5?
Over.
Yeah, I think so too, because he was, I'm not going to say dirty, but you know, if the shoe fits, that last fight, he was doing anything possible to get that win. But with this fight, this is the rematch that I think we've all been waiting for. I watched the free fight on UFC's YouTube channel yesterday, and honestly felt like I should be paying for it. That was an instant classic. These two left everything in the cage. But the first fight between these two was a war, and a lot of people, myself included, think Moreno actually did enough to walk out with the title. With this fight, I'm expecting a calmer approach from Deiveson. If you look at it, he came out super aggressive. I think in the first matchup, he didn't expect or respect Moreno to be as good as he was standing up. We know that Deiveson's going to go and use the jab and body work to get Moreno's hands down to shoot for that uppercut. We also know that Moreno is going to shoot for takedowns and is going to stand there and trade and work the body. If Deiveson is going to win this fight, I think that he has to be more calculated and pick his shots. If for Moreno, I would like to see him shoot more for takedowns and avoid trading and absorbing damage. He absorbed so many jabs in that first one. He was getting pieced up. I think Joe Rogan said that, you know, his orbital bone was broken. Also, I like to see Moreno work the body more. That was effective in the first fight. He was using that left to rip the body as much as possible, and it was affecting Deiveson. You saw it. So with this fight, I'm going underdog. I'm going to Brandon Moreno. I think he's going to get the win. I think he's going to be smarter. I think this layoff and the first fight gave him a chance to kind of regroup and say, the blueprint's laid. I can beat this guy. I just need to tweak this and add this. So I'm going with Brandon, the best name in MMA, the assassin baby, Moreno. And he's the biggest geek in MMA, I think, with his Legos and pop collection. So
exactly.
I got to ride high with my geek brethren.
First, you got Figueiredo, who fights out of Belém Pará, Brazil. He's 33 years old, 124 pounds. He's 5'5 with a 68-inch reach. And then he fights out of Team Figueiredo Gym. Then you got Brandon Moreno, who fights out of Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico. He's 27 years old, 124 pounds. He is 5'7". With a 70-inch reach, and then he fights out Antrim Gym and then Lubbock Martial Arts Gym. This is going to be a really good instant classic, just like the first one. If you know both of them, you got Figueiredo, who's a really good striker who likes to change levels and showcases different angles to get to his opponent. He constantly moves forward and has big-time power. He uses his elbows when he backs his opponent to the cage, and then he likes to fire his right hand when he gets backed up. He doesn't put his hands up to defend. That's a big thing in the first fight that got him damaged a lot in the middle rounds. So that is going to be concerning, and he overextends at times. He likes to throw bombs, and they're usually wide. He's very active when he's on his back, and he has decent submissions. He's known for that killer guillotine he's been able to finish people with in the past, and his head movement is really good to avoid shots. That's one thing that he was able to do a little bit until he started getting hit. Yeah. Then you got Moreno, who is more fundamental style boxer with his striking, and he has fast hands and good combinations. He loves to use his jab and has really good cardio. Mm-hmm. He needs to hide his strikes a little bit better than he did in the last fight, and he has nice takedowns and likes to trip his opponents to get the takedown, but he needs to improve when he gets to top guard. He likes to float around side guard and then on the back, because when he's on top guard, he tends to like stand up, and then he either allows him to get up or he throws bombs while he's standing up. And then it's going to allow Figueiredo to try and get that guillotine if he makes a small mistake. Moreno's chin is probably one of the best in the division. He's never been knocked out. All of his losses have been by decision. He's tough. He keeps on coming at you. And one of the things that I think is going to be very underrated and probably an X factor in this matchup is the leg kicks by Moreno. Yeah. He's going to need to do the leg kicks a little bit more. I feel like the way this fight goes, it's crazy to think that it went to a draw, and then the formula that Formiga gave everybody when he beat Figueiredo, Moreno didn't use it at all. Nothing. Which was get the takedowns, hit him from the ground, hit him with leg kicks, and then just let him overhit you, and then you just step back, avoid the shots, and then you counter him. Okay. He didn't do any of that other than like avoid the shots. What I feel will happen is the first round, Figueiredo is going to come in strong. It's going to try and land those big bombs like he does. He doesn't really throw that many combinations. He just throws like big right hand, big left hand, yeah, or a couple of kicks. And then he's going to try and change angles and go for the body. He's going to do that first round. I think he's going to get that. Then I think Moreno's going to kick in round two, because you're going to see Figueiredo start to tire down a little bit, and he's going to get that boxing going. He's just going to relentlessly go for the combinations. He might go for a couple of takedowns, and then he's going to mix in the leg kicks in between those. And as I told you, Figueiredo doesn't block anything. His hands are always down above his below his waist. We don't know if it's because he is that confident against his opponents that he doesn't need to, or if he never trained it. So I think that's going to get him in heat, hot water in the middle rounds, where you're going to see Moreno just pick him apart and use his cardio to move around, avoid shots, and then get a couple rounds under his belt. I think it's going to wind up being 3-1 going into the fifth, Moreno, and then Figueiredo is going to come back in, try and get the finish. He might come close, but I think he'll take round five, but he's going to lose in the long run. I have this 3-2 Moreno, where he's going to wind up becoming the new flyweight champion.
Did you think that he won the first fight?
That was tough, because he got outstruck, but he did more damage than Figueiredo. Yeah. And then those points in time where you could have went either way, but I felt like that's exactly what happened in the first fight. Figueiredo early, Moreno in the middle rounds, and then Figueiredo late. So it depends on the judges.
Yeah, I think also like the part that made me think Moreno won that fight, and I think that he'll win this one, is that if those groin strikes and those eye pokes weren't there, he would have been able to capitalize on that a little bit better. And every time that Figueiredo was getting pulled off of the cage, his fingers were in there. So he knew. And to your point about him keeping his hands down, I think it's not that he's not confident. I think that he's overconfident. Yeah. I think that he believes in his mind that nobody's going to knock him out, that he's going to stand there and he can bang. He can kill. He's a killer. And he is. He's like a Terminator. He just walks through and he just, you know, absorbs and keeps going. But he's going up against somebody who has had a checkered past in the UFC. There was times where Moreno wasn't making weight and he was like on the verge of being cut, and people were like, oh, he's not that good. 5 losses. Everyone was like, oh, get him out of here. Now he's fighting for a championship twice back to back this year. And both this last one was, could be fight of the year. This one is amazing. So I would love to see Brandon Moreno get this title. I think that he's earned it. No disrespect to Figueiredo, but I think it's time for a change in the guard, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think one of the big things with his career has been his chin.
Yeah.
He did lose, but it was all by decision. So it's easy to fix things when you're not known for getting knocked out. Yeah. And then you're just getting beaten by decision. Just ask guys like Jan Hovich, ask Charles Oliveira. Yeah. Guys that had like checkered the past early in their career, and then they were able to make this push out of nowhere and then become a different fighter. Yeah. I think he's going to be one of those guys that is going to be known for that, because I think he's putting it together at the right time.
Yeah, and if he wins this, you know the next fight's going to be a trilogy. So, like, either way, we're going to be talking about this a year from now, saying, like, who's going to win the third matchup? Yeah. Because, you know, if Moreno wins this, Davison's going to get the rematch.
Yep, and I definitely agree with that. Yeah. But let's move on to the main event of the evening that we have right here, which is the middleweight championship matchup, which is the second time that we'll be fighting between Israel Adesanya going up against Marvin Vettori. First, you got Israel Adesanya, who is 20-1 and is the -240 favorite. Then you got Marvin Vettori, who is 17-4-1 and is the +200 underdog. What do you see in this matchup?
Yeah, man, this is very similar to the co-main. When these two squared off last time, a lot of people thought Marvin won. A lot of people are also saying that that was Marvin's best fight. His best victory is a loss against Adesanya, which is amazing. Now they're both on the top of their game and get to fight for the belt, which is amazing too. With this fight, I think it's going to be dependent on Israel's takedown defense. In his fight with Jan Blachowicz, a lot of people are saying that the template had been laid down. Take him down and you'll win. But if you look back at the first time Izzy fought Marvin, he did a great job shifting the hips and stuffing Marvin's takedowns. I expect Marvin to look to look for takedowns and treat this fight like he did the first one and his most recent fight with Kevin Holland, where he just dominated him on the ground. Izzy is going to use his world-class stand-up to keep the distance, chop at Marvin's legs, and keep him guessing. I'm actually going to go with Izzy. No surprise, he's 1B of my favorite fighters, him and Robert Whittaker, in this fight. I'm picking Izzy, and the main reason is the level of competition between the two. Izzy has fought former champions and the best of the best in the division, not to mention the champ in a weight class higher than him. Whereas Marvin has fought good fighters, no disrespect to them, but he has avoided Whittaker, Costa, Romero when he was in the UFC, Jared Cannonier, Kelvin Gastelum, and Darren Till, even though that was canceled, on his way to the top. I'm not discrediting Marvin's abilities. He's a great fighter. He showcased that against Kevin Holland. But I just think that Izzy's past opponents have given him a balance of different disciplines where he'll be prepared for Marvin's takedowns. If he's able to beat Yoel Romero if he's able to beat Yoel Romero, who's one of the best wrestlers in that division, I think he's going to be able to solve the puzzle of Marvin Vettori. So I'm going to go with Israel Adesanya by third round stoppage.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. First we got Israel Adesanya. He's fighting out of Auckland, New Zealand. And of course, as you know, he's a Nigerian. He's 31 years old, 200 pounds. He's 6'4 with an 80-inch reach, and then he fights out City Kickboxing.
Yeah.
Then you got Marvin Vettori, who is fighting out of Mazarin, Italy. He's 27 years old, 186 pounds. He's 6 foot with a 74-inch reach, and he fights out Kings MMA. This is going to be a nice rematch that he had. Of course, they got a lot of people that are saying that they thought Vettori might have won the first fight, whereas it wound up going 2-1 majority for Adesanya. You got Israel Adesanya, who is a world-class striker who constantly is feinting and holding his hand up to keep his opponent at arm's length. His kickboxing is well-polished and loves to throw a lot of different kicks mixed in with his striking to confuse his opponent. He likes to lead with his left hand, fake with it, and then hit you with the right kick because you're too busy thinking about that left hook. He has really good defense against the cage, but he gets taken down. But when he gets taken down, he acts like a fish out of water because he's not very good on the ground. It's just that he doesn't get put in that position at times because he weighs more than his opponents, or he's really good against the cage. And then you got Vettori, who wants to get in close to use his boxing. He likes to use his right hook and stand on his front foot. His volume and motion is great when he gets in the groove. He tends to lean back to avoid strikes and reaches for the clinch to avoid shots. So that's something to think about in this matchup. And he doesn't check leg kicks. He never has, never will. So that'll be an issue with Adesanya throwing a lot of leg kicks.
Yeah.
And then he gets aggressive going for takedowns, which tends to wear his opponents out. But then kind of wears him out at times too. I feel like the one thing to think about in this matchup is Marvin Vettori's fight with Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland's stand-up reminds me of Adesanya, but then the difference with him is he's so easy to get taken down, and then basically he's a fish out of water when he gets taken down too. But he was in that matchup, he was winning the striking on the stand-up. When it was standing up, he was winning. It's just that when he got taken down, that's when he started losing the fight, and he wound up getting taken down like 10 times by Vettori. Adesanya is going to be difficult to be taken down. One thing to note in the first fight, when he went for the first level takedown, Vettori wasn't able to get it against Adesanya. It's when in the third round, he went to the first level and then decided to go to the second level. Yeah. He was able to get it. And then if he's going to do that, he's going to have a good chance of winning. But I feel like with him not doing that right away, I feel like he's not going to do it until he has to. It's going to wind up being a thing where he might tire out a little bit. And then you're going to get Adesanya, who's going to just hit him with those combinations from reach. He's going to just keep at arm's length reach for a majority of the fight. And he's going to keep on kicking that lead foot of Vettori and with Vettori not blocking it or checking it. And I think that's going to have an effect on this fight. And for me, I'm going crazy with this fight. I'm going third round leg kick knockout for Adesanya.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got a 6-inch reach advantage, right? And he's going up against a guy who doesn't check leg kicks. Adesanya's background is Muay Thai, kickboxing, boxing. Yeah. Like, these are all things that are going to come into play where Vettori, he's a striker, but he's a wrestler by trade. Like, he's one, he's got, like, I think he's got the most takedowns in that division. He needs to check those kicks because if he doesn't, it's going to end up just like you said. Do you think the first fight, do you think that Vettori won that fight?
It's so close.
It's so close.
You, in aspects, I think he did, but then aspects, I think he didn't.
It
all depends on the way you look at the fight.
Yeah. Either way, like, what if we went back in time and went to that fight, I wouldn't have been mad with either decision. Yeah. They did enough to get the win. What happens next, though? Let's say Izzy wins. Dana White came out and said he doesn't think Robert Whittaker is going to be ready for a rematch. Second fight. Yeah. I keep forgetting Robert Whittaker has just been a perennial number one contender, if not champion. What happens next? Like, who's next in line? Cannoneer?
Cannoneer's fighting Gastelum in August.
Yeah.
I think Whittaker is going to be ready by the time, because right now it's June.
Yeah.
Depending on how this fight goes, say it goes all five rounds, it's going to probably take a few months like he did with the Jovic fight. And then by that time, he will be ready.
Yeah, I think September, October would be the next time he fights.
Yeah. So I think it's going to wind up being Whittaker no matter what, because that's the money fight to make.
Yeah.
This had that revenge feel to it where you can make money off of it. And then Whittaker wasn't ready yet. So Vettori had just fought and had a good performance. So
yeah,
it was the perfect guy to put in the place. But now you got Whittaker who hasn't fought in a month or two. And then it's going to have a few more months off to get refreshed and ready to fight for the title that he never got the rematch for.
Yeah.
So that's going to make for a lot of money. And, you know, even if he has to wait like an extra month, Dana White's going to book it.
Yeah, and I think the fight to make for Marvin, if he loses this, is Darren Till.
Yeah, it just depends on how Darren Till does with Derek Brunson in September.
Yeah. Yeah, or the winner of that fight goes up against Marvin.
Yeah, and I totally agree because – I was going to say Paulo Costa, but then he keeps on backing out of fights due to contract. Yeah. And then it just seems like Gastelum's the guy that's like, okay, Costa, you don't want it? I'll take it. I'll get another paycheck.
Smart on his behalf. Like, he's not going anywhere in the division. Yeah. He's falling backwards. So if he's taking these high numbers, what, Cannoneer's 3-4?
Yeah.
And Gastelum's what, like 9-10? He's going to fight the number 4 guy. If he beats Cannoneer, he's number 4.
Yeah.
And now he's going up for another title defense or title shot. It's smart business by him. Costa's gonna run his way out of the company. He's kind of like Yair, where you know Yair's always in issues with contracts. He's pulling out of fights, and then you're like, when's Yair gonna fight? When's Zabit gonna fight? Like these guys that are exciting fighters that you want to see fight, they don't fight, and they're gonna work their way out of the company. So I think if Costa doesn't get off his ass and fight, he's gonna be a Bellator champion in a year.
Exactly. But that is the end of our UFC 263. You got Israel Adesanya going up against Marvin Vettori, take two. This is going to be a great card. I'm looking forward to it all in all, from the prelims to the main card. Watch it this Saturday night on pay-per-view so you don't miss any of the action. And once again, we are Cage My IQ, the best place for MMA content. If you look right here, just again, our handles to the left for Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. We have the preview and recap videos, plus the interviews of all the fighters in all the promotions that we've done so far. We've had over 110 subscribers, looking to shoot for 200 now. So do us a favor, help us out. Subscribe to the channel if you love MMA. And then just be part of the Cage My IQ army, because we're growing slowly as we go. And then we love the feedback. So comment on our videos and let us know. And before we get ready to go now, I got news to tell you guys. Like I said before, as you know, Jim is the leader of the Active Geek Productions. And the news that we're going to announce right now is that Cage My IQ will be joining the Active Geek squad. Yeah. And I'm excited for the new partnership that we had, since he's been on here every Thursday breaking down the fights with me. So it was a no-brainer to make this happen.
Yeah, man, it was bound to happen, right? You were, I believe, the first guest I've ever had on my podcast that wasn't a friend, like wasn't, Chuck or Tom, my co-host. So we had talked about doing a show together, and it just turned out that we were going to do your show. It's called Active Geek for a reason. This is the active aspect of it. So it's a match made in history, or a match made in heaven. We've been friends since seventh grade. It was bound to happen.
And then I was texting Chuck the other day. He texted me. He was like, congrats on joining the group. And I was like, thanks. And then I was like, I know it's a little weird because MMA isn't the same as comics. And he made the perfect point, I think, when he texted me back. He was like, it doesn't matter if sports, MMA, comics, movies, if you're a fan of it in any way, you're considered a geek. Yep. He was like, and that's what Active Geek is. So he was like, I'm glad you're joining. And then the last thing he was like, it took you this long to join.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to go out there and get your sea legs and then you come home. So
yeah.
Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. The future is bright for both of us. Can't wait.
Exactly. But that'll wrap this up for this edition of Cage My IQ, previewing UFC 263. I am your host, D-Bake. This is my co-host, Jim. We'll see you guys next Thursday, and you guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
See ya.
Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets, on Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.